Ahead of its annual shareholder meeting tomorrow, the Chevron Corporation is facing increasing scrutiny for its business practices around the world, from California to Ecuador. The second most profitable oil company in the United States faced a continuing legal challenge just last week from a coalition of environmental groups in Richmond, California. The activists say that Chevron's plans to replace old equipment at its refinery in the city will allow for the processing of heavier crude that would lead to an increase in pollution. Meanwhile, CalPERS, a major pension fund that holds hundreds of millions of dollars in stock in the company, announced last Thursday that it planned to vote for a resolution at the annual shareholder meeting on Chevron's liability in Ecuador. The company is currently facing a decision expected this year on a $27 billion claim accusing it of polluting Amazon jungle regions in the South American country. Lawsuits such as those in California and Ecuador have inspired, in part, a new expose on Chevron detailing abuses committed by the company worldwide. The findings and conclusions of the 44-page report, entitled The True Cost of Chevron, will be announced today ahead of plans to protest outside of the company's headquarters in San Ramon, California tomorrow. My guest is Antonia Yuhas, the lead author of The True Cost of Chevron, an alternative annual report. She's also written the book The Tyranny of Oil, The World's Most Powerful Industry and What We Must Do to Stop It. Welcome to Uprising, Antonia.
Well, thanks for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Let's first talk about Ecuador before we go to what's happening in California. I know you were on Democracy Now! This morning talking about it, and that program will re-air at 9 o'clock. But tell our listeners specifically how Chevron has been responsible for polluting in a very serious way many regions of the Amazon jungle in Ecuador, and specifically who are the people who are involved?
Sure. Well, this relates to beginning from 1964 to 1990, Texaco, which Chevron bought in 2001, was operating in Ecuador in blatant disregard for Ecuador's environmental laws, international standards for environmental laws, was intentionally cost-cutting and simply dumping toxic waste and oil into the Amazonian jungle for about 30 years' time. Texaco left in 1990, and that's when indigenous populations within Ecuador began organizing to try and demand a cleanup of the toxic spill. And literally, we're talking 18 billion gallons of waste. This is larger than the Exxon Valdez spill, and this is in the Amazonian jungle, in the land of indigenous populations. And that the struggle began during that period of time, but essentially went legal in the 1990s with a court case. And the court case was brought in New York, but Texaco fought aggressively to get the case tried in Ecuador instead. The primary reason being that they planned all along, and this continues to be now Chevron's position, that what happens in Ecuador stays in Ecuador, and even if the ruling comes down against them, they're trying to argue that it's an Ecuadorian court and therefore they don't have to abide by the judgment. But basically, throughout this period of time, since 1993, there has been ongoing organizing among Ecuadorians, supported by activists and lawyers in the United States and really around the world, a global effort to keep attention on this case, to keep money flowing to the case, to keep media focused on the case, and it now appears that it's going to be successful and that in the fall it looks like the Ecuadorian court is going to rule that Chevron owes an astounding $27 billion, which is really nothing compared to the health effects, the miscarriages, the cancer, the death, the livelihoods, the environmental destruction caused by this spill. But it will be the largest judgment against a corporation for anything similar. And what we tried to do with this alternative annual report is to show that while this case in Ecuador is astounding, it is unfortunately not atypical, and that we see a similar and blatant disregard for law, environmental law, public health, the environment, communities, human rights, with Chevron's operations across the United States and around the world.
And how profitable is this company? I mean, you mentioned it's the second largest in the country, or the world, I should say. How, you know, what are some of the numbers, particularly given the state of the economy today?
Well, yes, so it's the largest corporation in California, and that's important for us to remember, particularly during our budget traumas.
So largest corporation, period, not just oil company, but largest corporation in California.
Hands down, the largest corporation in California. It's the second largest oil company in the United States. It's the sixth largest corporation in the entire world, period, of any type of company. It is an enormous company. The only reason why we don't pay as much attention to it as we should is because it's so dwarfed by Exxon, which is the largest corporation on the planet. But Chevron holds its own, and it made $24 billion in profits last year. CEO David O'Reilly was the 15th highest compensated CEO of any American CEO, $50 million in total compensation just last
year. 50? 50?
50. An enormous amount, and it, Chevron is also the dominant player of any business in California politics. And what we are demonstrating through this report is that while Chevron, in many ways, has had its best year ever, even this last quarter, its profits did take a dip, but its shares went up because it is seen as the sort of nicer oil company in comparison to Exxon, which is an absolute myth for many reasons. But what we were trying to show is that that is really a house of cards, that financial status is built up on lies, misdirection to shareholders about Chevron's liabilities, and practices that are unsustainable given the organizing of the movements of those communities that are affected by those practices.
And explain where the decision by CalPERS, this fund that I mentioned, pension fund, their decision to try to introduce a resolution on Ecuador at the shareholder meeting tomorrow. Is that based on any interaction with some of these movements, these Amazon movements, Ecuadorian movements, people's movements? Are they coordinating, or is this something that you think that they came up with on their own just from knowing about and understanding the situation?
Yeah, and this is such a good question, so important for activists to understand. This is the result of long-term organizing and activism and education that has taken a long time to have an effect but has worked, and that is the ongoing dialogues, education, discussions between the activists from Ecuador, from the United States, meeting with CalPERS, which is the largest public pension fund in the country, an enormous holder of stock in Chevron, through a very a long process of dialogue and activism and reaching out, making the decision to support a resolution that calls on Chevron to come clean for its actions in Ecuador. And this is really an enormous victory of activism that could ultimately have a tremendous financial benefit to a incredibly devastated community.
So, did they actually get in touch with, or were they approached by the movements, or were there American activists that were sort of acting as go betweens, people like yourself?
Yeah, and I wasn't directly involved, so I don't feel completely comfortable talking about how the dialogue happened. All I do know for certain that this was not an independent action of CalPERS. This was a long time coming.
And there are other funds as well, from New York. There's also public pension funds in Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Maryland, pension funds of firefighters and police in Detroit and other large cities that have announced their support for a resolution on Ecuador. So it's a pretty important thing happening tomorrow. Antonia Yuhas is my guest. She's lead author of the report that we're discussing that's going to be announced today. The results of it are going to be announced today. It's called The True Cost of Chevron, an alternative annual report, a day ahead of the company Chevron's annual shareholder meeting. There's going to be a protest happening there tomorrow. Let's turn to California, Antonia, and talk about this issue in California that Chevron is also having to deal with about replacing aging equipment. What's the main issue there, and is that also coming up as a result of local activism?
Yeah, this is a case of Chevron trying to frame what it's doing in the best possible light, the upgrading of equipment. What Chevron is actually trying to do and has been slowly doing at its refineries across the United States until it met the well-organized community of Richmond is to retool its refineries so that they can burn heavier, dirtier oil, in this case from the Alberta tar sands, that is more polluting when it is refined, and to retool their refinery so that it can burn this heavier oil. Thanks to the organizing and efforts of the well-organized Richmond community, which is a largely low-income community of color that has borne the brunt of this 100-plus-year-old refinery in its midst that operates in complete noncompliance with clean air standards, releasing toxic waste into the community, they found out that what Chevron was really up to and have been involved in an ongoing legal battle with the city and with the company to stop this retooling effort. And what is fantastic about the organizing is that it's also directly linked with the communities in the Alberta tar sands, the First Nation communities, the communities that live around that production that are trying to halt the production in the tar sands. Well, now you have a lawsuit in Richmond at the point of refining, where what the lawsuit is trying to say is banning the ability of Chevron to refine that type of oil at all.
And now, what is the problem with retooling? I mean, just when you say retooling, are you saying that instead of setting up a facility that is specifically designed to deal with the dirtier oil, that it is jerry-rigging the existing one and that is actually leading to more pollution? Is that accurate?
It's making it possible for the refinery to burn the heavier crude.
So the community is opposed to the heavier crude being burned regardless of what equipment it's on?
Right, because the burning of the heavier crude is inherently more polluting. There's no way to do it without creating more pollution. So they want to ban that type of refining altogether.
Antonia, finally, what's happening tomorrow specifically? Who are some of the people who are going to be present outside the shareholder meeting in San Ramon? Will it include people from Alberta, Canada, as well as Richmond and Ecuador?
Yes, and we really want to encourage people to hop in their cars and come up and join us. And
buy a diesel cars, hybrid cars, take the train.
and join us in front of San Ramon, Chevron's world headquarters. There's going to be people coming representing Chevron's operations and opposition to them in Kazakhstan, in Burma, in Nigeria, in the Philippines, Ecuador, from Richmond, from groups will be represented from Alaska and Florida, from all over the world in the country to protest outside of Chevron's headquarters. We're going to have a theater. And many of us, including myself, are actually going to go into the shareholder meeting with the use of proxies and try and share the results of our report with the shareholders. So it should be quite a good action. And we're going to also have what we're calling a sub-advertisement theater. If you go to our website, truecostofchevron.com, you'll see our mock ads showing the hypocrisy of Chevron's human energy ad campaign. Ours are Chevron inhumane energy advertisements.
That's truecostofchevron.com. So there's going to be political theater. You're going to be sneaking into the shareholder meeting. Reminds me.
Walking right through the front gate. We got proxies.
It reminds me of when I snuck you into the Republican National Convention last year, Antonia.
Yes, you did.
Antonia, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. Best of luck tomorrow. Again, it's truecostofchevron.com. And is that also the website where listeners can find out the exact details of the address, et cetera, if they want to hop into their cars or take the train or bus down to the meeting?
Sure can. Plenty of details, and share those details with your Bay Area friends, and you can also download the report on the website as well.
TrueCostOfChevron.com. Again, Antonia, thanks as always.
Thank you for having me.
Antonia Yuhas is lead author of The True Cost of Chevron, an Alternative and Annual Report. Again, TrueCostOfChevron.com.